In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
It's the Mighty Manfred with you in Little Steven's Underground Garage, and I've got another coolest conversations throwback for you. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate and review. Today's interview takes us back to Friday, March the 6th, 2015, when I chatted with Christopher Schau, lead singer and frontman for the band The Dogs, who are based in Oslo, Norway. We find out how Little Steven discovered the band while filming Lilyhammer, and talk about how the guys are all musicians, but when they formed The Dogs, made a point to play instruments that they're not proficient with. We also discuss their then-new album, Black Chameleon Prayer. It featured their coolest song in the world, Don't Let Me Down. So let's hear some of that track, followed by my interview with Christopher Schau on your coolest conversations throwback, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Manfred, and now it is time to have our coolest conversations for the day. And joining me is Christopher from The Dogs. Hello, Christopher. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Now, you were speaking to me from where? From Oslo or where?
I'm speaking from a very, very cold Oslo, Norway. There's so, ice literally everywhere, and you know. Yeah, it's the worst time of the year in Norway.
Oh man, that's terrible. That's terrible. I've been suffering too. I'm here in Los Angeles, and just the other day it got down. It was like a chilly. It was chilly. The sun goes down. And you have to wear it's horrible. It's horrible. These native Californians, you see them wilt. They're like little flowers, and they get all wilty. It's terrible. But of course, you can go skiing, right? Do you like to ski?
No. You know, I'm 6'7". I'm a big guy. So, and I have a size 16 shoes. So now, like getting boots for skiing, it's going to cost me a fortune. I have to get them specially made. So I haven't been skiing for I think 30 years.
Oh man! Well, that's that. You know what they say about guys with big feet?
They have big feet.
Well, they have to get big ski boots.
Yeah, I know.
My understanding is that the Dogs, little Steven, found out about you guys while he was in Norway filming his show Lilyhammer. Did he ever come to a show? Did you guys meet him, or how did that take place?
It was actually his first shot at being a director. So he was shooting the whole episode that we were in. So, and there's a segment in that episode where we play live at a bar, and he was directing the whole shoot. So, yeah, he got to see us quite a few times during 5 intense hours in Lilyhammer.
And is Lilyhammer a good town for you guys to be playing in? I mean, is that a good rock and roll town if you're on tour in Norway?
Because it's sort of on the way to other places. You always stop in Lilyhammer to make the drives, more bearable. So you, usually you go from Oslo and you stop in Lillehammer to play, and then you go further up north to do more shows. So yeah, it's a steady pit stop on every tour.
So they're like six members in the band, right? Six dogs, half a dozen dogs.
Yeah, I know. Too many, but yes.
So when my band has been overseas and we played in Norway and we did several shows, they kept telling us, no, don't drive between shows. It's much better if you fly between the shows. So if you were touring Norway with six guys, are you guys flying or are you guys driving?
Oh, we are idiots. So we always end up driving. So we're like, right now we're six people, and with a sound engineer, we're seven in an old beat up Toyota Hiace filled to the brim with equipment. We can't afford plane rides so far. We're still in the,
Well, that's fine, because think of all the great experiences you have bonding together.
Yes, we do. The intimate smell of every individual in my band.
So how did you first begin to meet those intimate smells? How did the band form?
I've always played in a lot of bands, and at some point I had a couple of songs that didn't fit anywhere. So I made a few calls to a few friends of mine, and I asked them if they wanted to try playing instruments that they weren't, comfortable with playing. So the guy playing keys, he had never touched a keyboard all of his life. I had a bass player playing guitar, and just a basic drunk playing drums. But they were all musicians, but they weren't used to these instruments. It kind of worked, because they were so afraid of making mistakes that they kind of, and it turned out a little different than if you had people playing what they normally play. So that's how it all started. But gradually, because this is our third record, people are now, they're better at playing, basically.
So let me ask you about one of these places to play. One more thing. One time we were in Norway and we played this place called the Cave or the Cavern.
In Bergen?
I was told that was a German World War II bunker that these people had turned into a club. Are you familiar with that?
The whole coastline of Norway is just peppered with bunkers from the war. So it could be a lot of places.
Have you ever played in one of those places?
Yeah. It's weird, the acoustics and everything, but it's good.
So right before we started talking, we were listening to this week's coolest song in the world, your song Don't Let Me Down off the new album, Black Chameleon Prayer. And in the song you sing, two is the loneliest number, the loneliest number of all. Have you ever heard that one is the loneliest number that you'll ever do, and that two can be as bad as one? It's the loneliest number since the number one. Have you ever heard that line?
Yeah, I did. A friend of mine told me that line, and I thought it would be sort of a fun thing to put in. That variety into our song. Yeah.
Well, I was thinking, that's a different kind of dog. That would be a three dog night. But what is the specific writing process for you guys? I mean, is everybody contributing ideas, or do you have a song idea first, or how does it work?
It's mostly me sitting naked on my sofa playing the acoustic guitar. And when I've got something, I record it on my, I've got a little recording device, and I send it out to all the other guys. And then we just meet up. And the very second we have 10 songs, we go into the studio for like 3 or 4 days. And we record everything live, and that's the album. It's pretty old-fashioned.
Yeah, well, and very commendable. So you put out an album last year, put out an album this year. I mean, are you already geared up to put another album out for 2016?
Yeah, I'm actually hoping to get it out this autumn, because I've already made the songs, the 10 songs that's going to be on the album. But we are touring quite a lot now, so it depends on how much when we can get in. Into the rehearsing space and just get them down.
Let me ask you this. So on your Facebook page, I read this post that you put, I'm going to read the post here. It said, First, you make the songs yourself. Then you record them yourself. Then you release them yourself. Then you carry the records down to the record store yourself. Finally, after a bunch of other yourselves, you arrive at the first stop of your tour and the newspaper is there to greet you. Turns out they want you to interview yourself. So you're doing all this stuff, right? You guys, everything is in-house. Would you rather continue doing that, or would you want to have like a record label involved or some type of management involved? What do you think is better for you?
I kind of like the idea of doing everything yourself, but it's a hassle, you know, or getting the money in, and when you have the money, not spending it but saving it for the next record, because we have to, you know, do the printing as well ourselves. So I guess it would be kind of nice if somebody would just, take care of the business side of everything. I mean, I'm just happy I can keep on doing this.
So talking about the business side, do you guys fund, you know, the recordings and the pressings? Do you fund all that from the money you're making at the live gigs?
Yeah, that's basically because we don't make any money at all besides playing live, but we do decent. We get a lot of festivals during the summer. So, it's not a living, but it supports the habit.
Well, so Norway is not a socialist utopia where you say, I want to be a rock and roll player, and the government just pays you a salary to do that?
Oh, unfortunately. But it's... But I mean, if you put in the hours and just, you know, go out there, get in the van, keep the costs down, drive yourselves and play, you know, anywhere that will have you, you get around. So it's not impossible.
Well, I tell you, that's very much the same rock and roll model here in the States. I think it would probably be pretty universal in most countries. You know, the guys get together, you get in the van, and then you start playing shows, and then, you know, you're relying on a lot of word of mouth. And now, too, there's social media to help spread the word. How many shows do you guys play over the course of a year?
Around 30, not more than 30, 40, I think. But that's because we also have other bands that we play in, and people have day jobs. And Norway is a small country. So, I mean, you can't play the same place more than twice a year. But hopefully we'll be playing a lot more this year and the next one.
Have you managed to play outside of Norway yet?
Yeah, we've been in Sweden and Denmark, but we're hoping to go down to like France and Spain this year.
And when are you planning to come to the U.S.?
As soon as anybody asks us, we'll get on the plane immediately.
Well, hey, this is the first step. The dogs will get the Coolest Conversations Mighty Man for Bump. That's what's going to happen.
Yes.
So this year's album, Black Chameleon Prayer, last year's album was Tears Are Voodoo. And I want us to hear a song off of that, to go out with that. That song, I was going to play Crime Is Sexy. And at one point in there, you sing, somebody should probably make that call to my mother tonight. Has that call ever been made?
Thankfully not. Not yet. I'm at my mother's place right now, by the way.
Oh, really? Well, you have to tell her. Please tell her I said hello.
I will. We're having rice and meatballs.
Wow. So is your mom, what's like the family support there for your rock and roll antics? Is the family okay with that? Or do they shake their head and say, let's change the subject and eat another meatball?
They don't care. I don't think they do care. I mean, I'm 44 years old now. I think they're just giving up.
44? Man, you're so young. You're so young. I want to reach up, since you're taller than me, and just pinch your little cheek and say, you were such a little rock and roll baby. You got to keep going, man. Got to keep going.
Thanks.
Oh, man, Christopher, thanks so much for speaking with me today as part of our Coolest Conversations.
Thanks so much for having us.
And good luck with the rest of the shows this year, and good luck cranking out some more tunes. We'll be looking forward to hearing all of them, especially right now, getting used to the stuff off of Black Chameleon Prayer. But as we go out, let's listen to Crime is Sexy off last year's album, Tears Are Voodoo. Crime is Sexy here in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.